This is the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, sponsored by Brandon Legal Group. Proud supporter of the Todd Wright Tour, huge supporter of the most recent Todd Wright Tour Championship held at Buckhorn Springs Golf and Country Club. Literally, I don't know, 5 minutes or so from the home offices of Brandon Legal Group. I've gotten to know a number of the guys at Brandon Legal Group over the past couple months. Initially met them. They were a big supporter of the annual Brandon Foundation golf event, now the Angel Foundation, run by some wonderful people out in the greater Brandon area. I was able to play with them in that event. They played as a foursome in my event. They sponsored the dozens of Srixon golf balls that we gave away to winning teams in my event. And I just really like the people at Brandon Legal Group. So I encourage you to reach out to them for your legal needs. Very simply, they're a full-service law firm. So if you have a legal question, it's this simple. Just call them. You can even tell them, hey, I listen to Todd Wright. I know you guys are sports fans. I know you guys are golfers. I got a question. 844-4BL-G4ME. 844-4BL-G4ME. G4ME. That will allow you to schedule a free consult for any of your legal needs. I speak highly of these guys because I play golf with them and they support my Todd Wright Tour events, most recently the Todd Wright Tour Championship, and they'll be playing in the next Todd Wright Tour event in late July. Brandon Legal Group, 844-4BL-G4ME. All right, we're recording this podcast Wednesday morning following the Lightning victory over the Washington Capitals in Game 3. I always subscribe to the theory that you cannot call a game a must-win unless the result, if it is a loss, causes you to not play any more games. However, I will go as far to say that I feel the same way many of you did going into Game 3, that if the Lightning did not at least get that one, that it was likely going to be an imminent end to the postseason, and the chances the Lightning would play for the Stanley Cup in the next round would be very, very small. As I told Drew Garabo on 102.5 The Bone, making an appearance with him and Seth and the Cedric Paquette of 102.5 The Bone, John Senning, the getting the win on Tuesday, it was reasonable to expect that the Lightning could win that game, and they did. We'll talk about how and what came out of it. But as I said to Drew, I said, you kind of have to look big picture as well. If they don't get game four also, what was really accomplished? You're still facing a huge deficit and being forced to string together a number of wins, and you'll be put on the brink of elimination just going into Game 5 at Amalie Arena, which we now will be played for certain, and that'll be on Saturday night. So I sort of feel the Game 3 win was relief rather than grounded enthusiasm for what this means now. Sure. Once the Lightning flipped the script on Boston, it never turned back. They did win four in a row against the Bruins after looking bad early in that series. This is different. The Caps are different. Now, granted, I went as far to say, and I'm not the only one, when Boston really flips the switch, at least the most recent team, I mean, they can attack, 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 attack. Usually it's just cycling within the opponent's zone. It's not necessarily line changes or odd man rushes. It's just they keep coming and coming and coming and coming. And fortunate for the Lightning, that really never happened, even in the game that they lost in Game 1. It was a little bit different. The number one line, I was able to create some one-on-one situations with Andre Vasilevsky and some defensive breakdowns. They took advantage of it. But they never really were able to flip that switch and play their game against the Lightning, to John Cooper's credit for how well he coached that game and for the players for what they did, knowing what they had to do to win those four straight against the Boston Bruins and neutralize that top line. And we mentioned it when we transitioned from the Bruins series to the Capitals series about just what the Capitals had. And I told you how much offensive firepower, most of you know, but I'm not going to guess that many of you Lightning fans watch a lot of Capital games or watch a lot of opponent hockey games. Most of you don't. But I told you about all the offensive firepower that's on the ice in this series and went as far to say, you know, we're not going to have 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, maybe not even 3-1 type games. We haven't had anything close to that. I think most of you would agree that even when the Lightning were up 3-0 early to mid second period of game three, you really, really wanted that fourth goal sort of take the edge off, because you know what Washington is capable of. And they did. They got the next goal, but then the Lightning, with a puck sort of stuck between a bunch of people's skates, including Tyler Johnson, and then Braden Point just fires it past Braden Holtby. That took a bit of it off as well, especially the fact that the Lightning played to the end of that period, didn't give up the late second period goal, and didn't give up an early third period goal either. It was just a Kuznetsov hard angle goal. He's about as good as it, as good at those as you're going to find. Really, only flaw in Vasi's game was that particular goal. I'm not going to hang the Connolly goal on Vasilevsky. That was a good play by Niskanen. Palat didn't know he was there when Palat was waiting for the puck at the blue line, probably looking to make a pass across ice to Hedman to clear the zone, and Niskanen kept it in. And the next thing you know, Connolly had a pretty good look at a lot of net with Vasilevsky moving left to right. But the soft angle, the soft one on Kuznetsov, and again, he's just very good at it. Let me just get this out of the way as it relates to the Caps. I don't think the Caps played that badly. Now, when you lose, it's easy to pile on, and but I just sort of look at it, and you know, I don't see that. I'm not looking into Game Three as a turning point yet. There was nothing from the game or the exit. Okay, Holtby had an game. He did. So I think more than anything else, that's the concern from the Washington side. If you're looking for a Lightning perspective of, well, what didn't the Caps do and could it continue? Holtby had an game, and the Caps took too many penalties, which they and you know, Nashville led the NHL in taking penalties, and Nashville is now watching the action. It was a factor. It wasn't the biggest factor of them losing the series against Winnipeg, losing that series in seven to the Winnipeg Jets. But it doesn't help. I mean, Stamkos power play goal. You know, we talked here on the podcast, and some of you didn't like it when I was analytical and critical of Stamkos's inability to score or have quality shifts through game three of the Boston series. Since then, he's got five goals in his last four games. Looks like averted the, oh no, Stamkos is down moment when Stamkos took a puck from one of his own defensemen in front of the net, on an offensive play in that area, just inside the left knee where you can't have any padding. Stammer got off the ice, went down the tunnel for a while, but came back. And at this point, seems like things are okay there. But that was a scary moment for a lot of you who have grown accustomed to Stamkos going down, and obviously now would not be a very good time. But power play goal by Stamkos from his office, from his spot, that dot to the right of the opposing goaltender. Kucherov also a power play goal. So the Lightning take advantage of some legit penalties called on the Caps. The penalties called on the Caps in the first period of game two were not legit. Neither of those penalties should have been called, but the Lightning capitalized on those as well. As the Washington Post pointed out, and it's not like it was a fluff piece, But the Washington Post did point out, in this series, 5-on-5, the Caps have outscored the Lightning 8-3 through three games. Now, granted, the Caps have a 2-1 lead, so you would expect that number would be one-sided, but that seems pretty damn one-sided. You know, another thing the Lightning did last night, and Eddie Olczyk talked about it, through the first period of Game 3, the Lightning had 4 odd-man rushes. In the previous 6 periods of the series, they had 2. So they did play faster, more intense, and let's spend some time on the line changes that John Cooper made that even NBC wasn't thrilled about, how they didn't know them. Well, you know, that sort of reminds me of the Steve Kerr line when he changed the starting lineup the first of these years that the Warriors have been good. He said, "Sorry, I lied to all you guys about going to the small lineup, but if I'm going to tell you guys, I might as well just walk down the hall to the opposing coach's office, knock on the door and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go small." So Cooper wasn't telling anybody about this. He basically switched, you know, he switched 3 guys. He switched 10, 18, and 37. So he kept, let's see, 17, yeah, he switched 10, 18, and 37. So he moved Miller off the number one line and put Palat there instead. By putting Palat with Stamkos and Kucherov, you now have 3 very talented offensive players working together, and obviously Kucherov and Palat know each other very well from their days of the triplets with Tyler Johnson. I think more than anything else, that could get Palat going because of the attention that will be paid to Stamkos and Kucherov. It could free up Palat for some more opportunities. But that's a very offensively talented line, where Miller is more of a, you know, more of a grinder, more of a get to the net type guy, get the rebounds or set a screen or something like that. So Miller shifted to the line with Killer, Alex Killorn, speaking of bad penalties, and unfortunately, and Cirelli, who just does a lot of good things and has ever since his call-up. So that was kind of your third grind line, if you will, as Barry Trotz called it in that interview. And then the number 2 line with Palat off it, they just added a very fast young skater in Yanni Gourde to that line. So it was Tyler Johnson, Braden Point, and Yanni Gourde. And so as Barry Trotz talked about with the line changes to Pierre Maguire during the game, and Barry was right. It's like, look, this doesn't change a lot of what we're doing, because he had last change, so he could do what he wanted. And he just matter-of-factly said, look, coaches know other coaches. He's like, John put together his top 6. You know, he's focusing on get my best 6 offensive guys together. You know, the Lightning have been a 4-line team all year. They still were a 4-line team in Game 3, but John Cooper, as Barry Trotz noted, said he's kind of putting his 6 best offensive players in the top 2 lines. And then, you know, another grind line, hoping the combination of Miller with Killorn and Cirelli, not saying they can do the same things that the Callahan, Kunitz, and Paquette line has done very effectively now for a couple series with a lot of their shifts, but at least have a little bit of that effect. So that, I think that's what John Cooper is hoping for. So I don't expect that will change going into Game 4. But when you look at the line changes, that's at least how I see it. You know, and again, Cooper kept Cooch and Stamkos together. He kept Braden Point and Tyler Johnson together, just basically put together his top 6 offensive players. And that's saying a lot for Yanni Gourde, right? That Gourde is considered one of the top 6 offensive players on a team this deep and this talented. But Gourde showed that ability late in the season. So playing with Johnson and point, that's a very fast line. They instead of having to win those 50-50 battles, their speed prevents it from being a 50-50 battle for the puck. So I think that's what went into the line changes. It's easy now to say that they worked. But again, it was the Lightning power play that was so good. But maybe some of these changes led to the odd man rushes that we saw, you know, again, four in the first period where the Lightning only had two in the first two games overall. And again, Andre Vasilevskiy had a very strong game. Yeah, he gave up the soft goal with, what, 4 minutes or so to go to Kuznetsov, but Kuznetsov very good at those hard angle goals. But Vasi needed a game like that, and the Lightning need more games like him from him like that. Otherwise, the Lightning aren't going to win the series. He needs to be the better goaltender than Braden Holtby. The Lightning could lose this series, and he's still the better goaltender than Braden Holtby. But he needs to be that. In a game where Holtby outplays Vasilevskiy, the Lightning lose. It's pretty simple. So a strong game for Vasilevskiy. You know, Washington had been shooting a lot on him high and having success with that. I'm not going to overanalyze it, but it just didn't seem like Vasilevskiy was as beatable high last night. Maybe he was just not as quick to go down on the ice, or he was just staying up on his skates or just playing his angles a little bit better. It was just a strong game. Former goaltenders or the chief or goaltenders coaches can analyze that better than me. Hedman also, strong game. And as we speak, certainly I know there was concern from the Lightning standpoint that Anton Strahlman could be suspended for that boarding penalty on Tom Wilson. As I record this podcast, it sounds like there will be no discipline towards Strahlman, because while he did board Wilson and he was called for boarding, there was a noticeable shift in where Strahlman hit Wilson. There was a sort of a change of direction where he still committed the penalty, but it wasn't egregious enough to merit a suspension. Now, Wilson is bitching about that, but that's part of Wilson's game. You hated Marchand from the previous series if you were a Lightning fan. Wilson's the kind of guy that you hate from this series, him and a John Carlson. And obviously, you hate Ovechkin because he's Ovechkin. You hate Kuznetsov because he's good, and yeah, I get it. But Wilson's complaining about the knot on the side of his head. Well, that's the type of player he is. He doesn't understand why he gets suspended and someone doesn't. Well, that's why. Strahlman could have really hurt Wilson. Instead, he committed a boarding penalty. He didn't really hurt him that bad. He sits for 2 minutes, and that's the end of it. So unless something changes after this podcast is recorded, expect Strahlman to go in Game 5. So there we go. Let me remind you again that Brandon Legal Group, proud supporter of the Todd Wright Tour. I've played golf with Colin from Brandon Legal Group. Have enjoyed my dealings with guys like Jeremy and Sean over at Brandon Legal Group. And what they do for the Todd Wright Tour is terrific in terms of their support of my golf tournaments, their participation in my golf tournaments for the Todd Wright Tour Championship. Again, they basically paid for dozens of golf balls for me to give away to players, and now they are sponsoring my podcast. So remember, Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm. And very important, you hear the Brandon term and think, well, I don't live in Brandon, so I guess they can't help me. No. They're Brandon Legal Group, but they serve the greater Brandon and Tampa area. All right, so call Brandon Legal Group to schedule a free consult for anything. They're a full-service law firm. Call today at 844 or whenever you need them, right? Just remember the number, 844-4BL-G4ME, 844-4BL-G4ME. Yeah, I know that's kind of an uncomfortable call if you're not familiar with this process and it's a sensitive topic. You can just open by saying, you know, hey, I listen to Todd Wright's podcasts. You guys, support Todd's golf tournaments. I have a legal question. Is this something you can help me with? That's all. That's an opening line. They would welcome your phone call. 844-4BLG4ME, Brandon Legal Group. Wonderful supporter of the Todd Wright Tour. All right, so podcast looking ahead. So we're guaranteed a game five now. Game four will be in the district on Thursday night. That game will determine whether or not we have a series or not. There's a huge difference between 3-1 and 2-2. I don't need to tell you that. But either way, I will have a new podcast for you. When can I sneak one in there for you? How about this? We'll get you a podcast for Saturday morning. That'll be my plan, to have a podcast for you on Saturday morning. So you have it before game five. That's when I plan to offer you the next podcast. The easiest way for you to know when the next podcast is posted is to subscribe to this podcast, and then you'll get the indication when it's there. But that's what I'll try to do for you, to have it ready to go first thing or early Saturday morning, so hours in advance. I actually am going to the Apple a Day brunch that Drew Garabo Live is and 102.5 The Bone are having at Eddie V's, not far from my condo, on Saturday morning. A wonderful charity providing iPads for kids fighting cancer. So I'm going to go to that brunch that morning, but I'll get a podcast cranked out before I walk over to Eddie V's and see Drew and Seth and Cedric Paquette of 102.5 The Bone, John Senning, and hopefully Micah will be there. She's always nice to run into, and some other good people raising a lot of money that day. So, if you're interested, by the way, because again, the charity is so good, if you're interested in the brunch at Eddie V's, I believe it's $50 a ticket. It's the Apple a Day charity. It's either appleaday.org or I think if you Google Apple a Day, Drew Garabo, or Apple a Day 102.5 The Bone, you can get information on it. They didn't ask me to do that, but I'm going to it. And if you're interested in a great brunch and want to go over to Eddie V's on a Saturday before you go down the Lightning game that night, I'm sure there'd be room for you. All right. So we'll talk to you on the next podcast Saturday morning before game five. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. And we'll talk to you then.